Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, let me go on gallery view. There we go. We're on gallery view. We are.
This is your first disc. Is this your first rodeo? Is it, mate?
This is the first rodeo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Ellis's first rodeo. This is the last one now for a while.
This is going to be man. Which is weird because when we ended series one, we didn't know it was the end of series one. We kind of just went, ah, shit, we've got no more time, and then just kind of couldn't do it. But now we've kind of made a mutual decision to kind of cut this one where it's at, which is strange, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit strange. But I think what we've done is we sort of, at the beginning of lockdown, we sort of decided that we was going to pick up because we figured a way to do it on Skype and Zoom, which we're using. But I mean, personally, I just don't feel like it's got the same energy as what it would have if we was in the room with these people.
Yeah, and
but I mean, it's still been great, and I mean, no disrespect to any of the other guests, but you know, I think my favorite episode of this series, and maybe of them all, was Johnny Harris.
I was gonna say, what was your favorite? And I was thinking that one myself, to be honest. Yeah, Johnny's.
Yeah, it was such it was just such a beautiful, meaningful chat, and given the circumstances that we was in at the time. And he's just got such a way with words with Johnny Harris has. And we just listened, didn't we, for an hour and 10 minutes. Which, you know, some people have said in the reviews that maybe we talk a bit too much. But then on the other hand, our podcast is very much a pub chat. It's not an interview. So that's, I mean, it was very much an hour of Johnny Harris, which was beautiful.
So go and listen to that if you've not listened to that one. If you're just listening to this one first, then go and have a listen to that and listen to all the others, I guess. Don't start with this one. That'd be a bit weird.
No, but some of them have been brilliant. But I just don't feel, and I think we've spoke on the phone a couple of times, haven't we? And what we don't want to do as well is we don't want to get all of our guests that we would have had on.
Yeah.
Just over a Zoom chat, you know, because I met Neil from The Inbetweeners. Do you know what I mean? I had him in the front of Charlotte's car. I made you sit in the back of Charlotte's car. What's he rode shotgun? And that sort of thing is like one of the reasons that I love it so much is we get to meet these people that we're big fans of, and
we get to hang out as well, which is nice normally.
Exactly. Yeah. So as much as it has been nice, but I mean, we've really struggled. We have struggled a bit recently, haven't we? We've both had a lot going on.
Yeah.
The world coming back to normality slowly. It's kind of like, you know, we might want to be out doing things on a Monday night and whatnot. So I think it's a good time to sort of maybe have another little break.
Yeah, I think like you said, I think I'm eager to start kind of get back out there now, and I think we can probably start doing that soon. Mm. We'll have a little rest, recuperate, and one of the things that's been great about this series is because at the beginning when we did a lot of the chats. At the beginning of the lockdown, we got hold of some amazing guests that would have loved to have done it either way, but were just always busy. So I think now, off the back of having such amazing guests, we can now reach out and get some more amazing guests for you know, meeting sort of face to face if we have to sort of all sit 2 meters apart in their house or whatever.
It just means I ain't got to drive around the country picking you up.
I know, I've got to find my own way there. I might have to get on my bike.
You might have to finally pass your driving test.
I know. I don't. My mum's been at me on that all week. But anyway, yeah.
Having said that, though, if we wasn't doing them over Zoom, I mean, it would have been nice to get on a plane to New York and go see Adam Richman, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I like New York. It's a lovely city. Yeah. And, as you just said, the guest this week's Adam Richman, who probably most famous for Man versus Food, right?
Yeah. Man versus Food was probably the big thing.
Massive at one point. I remember that being, like, just everywhere you, like, you looked at one point, like... Do you know what I mean? It was on TV and then it was, you know, you met him, he was on Celebrity Juice and, you know, what a nice guy as well, man. What a cracker.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. He's very like, he's just completely normal. When I met him on Celebrity Juice, it was a bit like, fucking hell, you're the guy from Man vs. Food. and he's a big Grimsby Town fan. Obviously, I'm a big follower of Grimsby Town. He also likes Spurs, Tottenham. We had a lot in common. So we just got on really well, really quickly. We spoke a lot about football and about our love for Grimsby and for food, obviously. Yeah. I think we did try get him on very early, didn't we? Again,
I think we were going to meet up with him. Yeah, in back when the world was normal, and again we just couldn't. My little one is crying, so should we roll the podcast?
Yeah.
I'll go and see to her.
Charlotte's crying as well, mate. She's always at it this time.
Come back after the podcast. We'll have a little debrief. I'll see you in a minute when I've put a dummy in a kid's mouth. See you in a minute.
Enjoy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, can do. See, we're on. Live from New York, it's Friday night.
Friday night in New York.
We've got Adam
very much for joining us, Adam.
Friday night dinner, of course. I feel I need to be like, channel my inner Tom Rosenthal, my inner like Simon.
Oh, Garth. Have you seen it? Have you seen the English, the Friday
I
night
love
dinner?
That. Hello, Peace Spice. Hello, Puff Spice. Hello, Bubble. Hello, Bubble.
It's great. Bubble. It's really good. I love it. I love it.
One of my favorites. I'm not like the smartest. It took me a hot minute to realize, oh, okay, they're Jewish. It's like, and I'm Jewish. I should have like twigged that way, way sooner than I did. But I had seen only one episode on a flight into Heathrow, the Christmas episode. Mm. Hello, Jackie.
And hello, Jackie. You hello. Look nice.
Hello. Hello. Shalom. And so I, like, and the thing is, you know this, I'm a quarter English, but I've always, like, been really Anglophilic, and, like, to know, like, oh, so now I, like, go back. So I was like, I really like Simon Burnett, so now I want to watch The Inbetweeners. Mm-hmm. I really like Mark Heap, so now I'm trying to watch The Green Wing. And trying to catch up on, like, everything Tamsin Grieg has done. And yeah. I think it's great.
There's a really good one with the gentleman who plays, I forget his name because I've only watched a few, the one with the dog who says...
Jim.
Jim. There's a really good comedy series with him. It's called Jam. Now, it's very kind of, I think it's like sort of late 90s, and it's very dark. I mean, like...
Oh, really?
Very dark.
Jam?
Jam. It's just called Jam, I think. J-A-M.
I just renewed my BritBox subscription last night. So what did I put on my... So I really want to, like, soak up all the classics too. So I put on my list, I've got, and I haven't seen any, Only Fools and Horses.
You've never seen Only Fools and Horses?
I've not, and my friend's dog.
That is the best British thing ever made.
Is it?
Yeah, for me, it's amazing. I can watch that all day. They do a musical. There's a musical on at the West End in London. Yeah, I think it's just about to finish, but I went with my wife the other week. It's amazing.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So my friend's dog's name is Boise.
Oh. Boise.
And he was explaining it to me. He's like, Only Fools and Horses. And then I, whenever, like, one time I jokingly threw on, like, some, like, fake jewelry when I was at, this is a great fancy dress shop on Shaftesbury called Angels. And I put on, like, some fake rings, and someone's like, oh, Del Boy. And I was like, huh? And so I put on Only Fools and Horses, Porridge.
Oh, nice.
The Vicar of Dilby.
Vicar of Dibley.
Ghibli. And because I'd seen one episode of that. I'd seen the Speed episode of Father Ted. So I put that on there as well. And then... Are You Being Served?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fawlty Towers is another great one.
I haven't finished it. I've seen the Germans episode, obviously. Mm. But it's only, what, two seasons, three seasons?
Yeah, it was quite short, wasn't it? There was only two or three seasons, yeah. Not many.
The Office.
Oh, The Office.
I have seen that.
No, I've never seen The British Office.
You've not seen The Office, Tomo?
No, I couldn't really get into it.
Wow.
No, I love Ricky Gervais.
That's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I think he's amazing, but I couldn't really get into The Office, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a different kind of show, isn't it? It's not your typical kind of sitcom.
You need to give it a chance just to hear him sing, just to hear the song that he sings. That they actually, if you buy the scripts from the first season, they actually have the sheet music to his...
Free love on the Free Love Highway.
Free Love Highway.
I'll give it a go.
You've probably heard that from Tomo, because didn't you used to be the voice for... So, Adam, we've got this thing over here called Freeview. So it's like a free... You buy a box and it's like £30 and then you get kind of channels, like satellite channels on it, Freeview. You used to be the voice for it, didn't you, T?
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais' song that Adam mentions now is in the advert for it now. You've probably seen it.
Ah, well, I'll check it out.
Yeah, brilliant song though.
I'll check it out.
The funniest thing was, so I met Tom when we did Celebrity Juice, and he mocked how bad I am at football, and we were like always joking around, but we went out, we had a good time that night. And then,
that was a great night, wasn't it? We went to the Grouch Show. Is it the Grouch Show?
Foxes and Kelly Osbourne, and then we bumped into Sienna Miller and Kate Moss, and then it was just so funny because, you know, I don't smoke cigarettes and you know, people were out carousing. And so at one point, like, it was just me and this random wardrobe guy when everyone else got up for a second. But we went out, and then I remember years later, I was filming at the BAFTA. I was filming in London and went to the BAFTAs, and I was so happy because they name-checked you on stage when This Is England won.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically. And then I saw Stephen in the like this sort of smoking area, ironically enough, and like I mentioned that I knew you and that I had actually I studied his accent my second year at Yale, but I was like, yeah, I fucking know Thomas Turgoose. Yes, what's up? But yeah, no, the American Office is on there. I haven't seen Are You Being Served, which is the one. Is it Keeping Up Appearances with Hyacinth?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I've never seen that.
That's like an old classic, I think. Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. And then my mates who are like writers, like one was an editor of a magazine in London. The other does like luxury gentleman stuff for a publication called Square Mile. They recommended Peep Show.
The Peep Show. Yeah.
That it's taken me a little bit longer to get into, but I do like, because I always loved like Little Britain, and I always loved, I mean, I guess they're like, it was a trickle-down effect. We didn't get like every show, and I haven't really watched a whole lot of the dramas. I need to like get more well-versed in like, I don't know, Luther and things like that.
There's a lot of great things being made in Britain at the moment. Would you say would you say British TV is better than American TV?
By and large, I think so. I think American TV is changing for the better, and I think the cable thing is a big game changer. Mm. But like, just when it was just broadcast standard, when you realize how many shows that were hits in America were originally just British shows. You look at like Steptoe and Son became Sanford and Son. Abfab. Oh yeah. Yeah. We did Sanford and Son, which was exactly Steptoe and Son.
Oh wow.
We took the Office.
Yeah.
Shameless.
Right. Shameless. Well, that's even way later. That's like on Showtime, and like, let alone like all the careers like James McAvoy and whatever that launched. But, no, there's Absolutely Fabulous became
Abfab.
Abfab became Sybil. Coupling became wait, what was that one? It was, we had some variant of Coupling. So I think that it's, I think generally speaking, maybe it's because being part of Europe exposes people to more, and they think on a much more, I don't know, a higher level, perhaps, you know, that it's not as provincially minded and stuff. That even the panel shows, like, I would love to live in a culture where we could have things like, you know, any of the Jimmy Carr shows, 8 out of 10, 8 out of 10 does Countdown.
Yeah.
You know, any of those, I think, great. Like, I'm honored to say I'm friends with John Richardson, and, you know, and have done some shows with Richard Osman, and I think, and Rachel Riley and stuff. And there's just the idea. Can you imagine? I mean, again, my president just suggested injecting disinfectant and UV lights inside the body. Yeah. And you guys have shows where people are doing mathematics on primetime television.
Yeah.
That I don't really think, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be like, We have to have at least one sexy mathematician to be like, hey, 10 divided by 4 plus the 7, 27. You know what I mean? But we don't have it. I also think we don't have the watershed like you guys do. And we don't have...
In what way do you think you guys can show more kind of violence pre-watershed, or you just don't really show it? Or?
Well, from what I was told, I'll never forget this, and like, it also really speaks to, so I think that to the typical American, right? Maybe one who hasn't really traveled to England or had a lot of contact with English people, that they probably have this association with the entire culture, with their pinkies up, drinking tea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everyone lives at Downton Abbey. And I think that no one really knows in America. I mean, maybe if you're a little more savvy, you know what a council house is. You've watched Top Boy, things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you want now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, I remember when I got Mike Skinner's first album, The Streets, original Pirate Material.
What an album.
Amazing. One of the best albums.
Love it. Love it. I do a very good impression of the opening beat to that.
We've got to hear it.
I'm gonna turn the page, walk away, you're on a date.
There we go.
Generation moment.
That's amazing. Yeah,
oh, man. Too much brandy. Like, Jesus need excitement. If their lifestyle provide them, say insight, violence, common sense, simple common sense. But, like, I remember, like...
Well, there's the advert for this episode. That's great.
DJ EZ. Yeah, totally. I was only trying to say, but my body was trying to say that you better stop drinking brandy. Yeah, no, love But I think that for most Americans, that they feel that it's like a profoundly polite, mannered, and cultured society, and they don't realize. And I remember speaking with somebody when Fremantle brought my show over to England for the first time. We did a press junket, and we did an event by the Ox Hotel. And I remember, and like someone just telling me, like, you know, with incredible articulate and mellifluous speech, oh yeah, you just can't show an erect penis. I was like, oh, is that right? Okay, thank you. And it wasn't until, like, the leader of the free world started dropping bullshit, literally, the word, like, Trump is, like, putting it in tweets and putting it in like, official speeches, saying words like bullshit and dropping the F-bomb in speeches. And now I think that standards are a little bit released to the degree that Conan O'Brien is now saying shit on television.
Mm. Wow.
Daily Show is saying shit, and I think that it's a very different thing. And I think that you guys do have a profound degree of propriety. I remember doing Fighting Talk with Colin Murray, and the engineer came out. I had said bloody, and he was like, "Ooh." I'm like, "Bloody for real?" He's like, "Yeah, you gotta."
Wow. And then so, we've got shows like Celebrity Juice, like we did, and it's very, very X-rated.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Kelly talking about, someone said a queef, and then she's like, well, she goes, oh, a fanny fart. And then, remember, and then Gino goes, oh, wait, there, man, okay, okay. I was like, yep, Gino just did a queef noise.
He's, have you been watching, there's a thing on ITV at the moment in Britain, called Gordon, Gino and Fred Traveling America. So you've got Gordon Ramsay, Fred Siriex, he's the waiter from First Dates, and Gino DeCampo. So it's basically those three driving through America, trying all the great foods and doing all the great things. Like, it's really, really good if you can find that over in the States. That's really
Gino Gordon and Fred. Really funny.
Sorry?
Gino, it's called Gino, Gordon and Fred, you say?
So yeah,
Gino, Gordon and Fred.
Do America or something, I think.
Do America or something like that. It's available on the ITV player, but I'm not sure what it's like over in the States. But yeah, that's very sort of like, with them being over in the States and traveling around the States, it's very kind. There's a lot of swear words and a lot of like drinking, and they're trying CBD oil and things like that. So that's so yeah. I mean, it's good fun. It is really good fun. But,
I want to see. I played in Soccer Aid with Jack Whitehall, and he and I have maintained correspondence. And
he's great. I love Jack.
I wanted to see the show that he's doing with his dad.
That's quite. Yeah, that's good.
That's on Netflix.
With my dad, I think. Yeah, but Netflix.
Yeah, it is.
Different in the States.
Mm. Yeah. No,
how was that, Adam? We recorded another podcast this afternoon with a guest who's playing in this year's Soccer Aid. And he's so excited about playing. How was that for you?
It was amazing. I tore my calf my first day.
Yeah, you trained a lot for it, though, didn't you? You lost a lot of weight.
I did. And it really bummed me out. I think, you know, my first day, you're playing for Jose Mourinho, and I was just really geeked out, and then I tore my calf, and so I really didn't get a whole lot of time on the pitch, unfortunately. I know you'll say it's because I'm shit at football, but I...
No. I thought you was good for the 4 minutes that you was playing.
Was that the one that you were at,
Tomo? I did go. I went to that one, yeah.
It's a little bit of a sore spot, I guess. It was an amazing experience, but I tried to get in the following one, and like I didn't. They were like, "Oh, we're trying to, you know, thanks to your interest, to try to replace, you know, get new blood in." And yet they have some of the same, like, you know, Gordon back, Patty back, Nicky Byrne back. So it's like Well, if you just don't want me there, just say you don't want me there.
Oh, no, don't feel like that. I've been trying for years.
It's a good cause. It's a great cause, and I'm happy that we raised millions of pounds for UNICEF, and it's bigger than Adam Richman, but I feel that it made me sad that I didn't get a chance to come back. And I don't know. I'll be 46 next month. I don't know if I'm going to have – and also I have to confess – I played for 7 years, and I played as a fullback and as a holding midfielder. And then I really wanted to fucking score a goal, so I made them play me up top. And I'm dog shit as an attacker. And so a little bit of the onus is on me too, because had I played in the position I had been playing for
even the experience of it all, like they do a big training week and things like that, don't they? They take it very serious.
Yeah, I mean that was the best part about it. I mean, you walk into the training ground of Fulham where we were practicing, and they have our kits laid out, and then it said Van der Sar, Richmond, Del Piero.
I mean, that's pretty special in itself. Yeah, that what it is. You're a big soccer fan, aren't you, Adam?
Huge. I wish you could see the pictures I have on my wall.
Yeah. And have you got anything Grimsby Town related?
I have my kit that I got sent. I have a couple of Grimsby kits, and even more dear to me. So I sponsor a team. I sponsor a football club of Grimsby Way in Lincolnshire. I sponsor or have sponsored Broadley FC. And so Richard Broadley played trumpet in the Grimsby Town band. And, you know, for like the band for the football club. And he passed. And so his friend Matt Newton and their friends decided to start a football club in his memory and in his honor called Broadley FC. And all their proceeds go to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society in Cleethorpes. And so even more dear to me than my Mariners kit are.
Yeah, of course.
Is my Broadley kit. And it's just amazing to see them running into battle with my like production company logo.
On the front of the
kit. Well done.
So I really want to go down that way because the people from Skeels Fish and Chips keep sending me these amazing, delicious pictures. Is it phenomenal?
Oh my word! It is genuinely the best fish and chips I think you'll ever have ever.
That's what I've heard. I've legitimately heard best fish and chips in England.
Yeah, me and Charlotte go quite a lot. We spend a lot of time there. It's good. But you like Tottenham Hotspur as well, don't you?
That's my club. This whole corner of my main room here is all Tottenham. Yeah, big time. Yeah. Big time.
You spend a lot of time in the UK, don't you?
Yeah, it killed me. I finally had an apartment there and I had to run home. I was like I guess the same way you can find like your soul or your heart can find a home elsewhere, like the way I feel when I go to Hawaii, the way I feel, you know, when I go to England. I just to finally have a home. I was living in Camden and just I loved it. I loved seeing the red buses and the overground and the canal way, and I loved going down the corner shop and a lot of things that I'm sure you guys more or less take for granted is still amazing to me. My friends always try to give me my news agent education. And like you said, like I haven't seen Only Fools and Horses. I still haven't had my Monster Munch sandwich. I haven't had my friends up north said I have to have a pie barm. I haven't had a Babi's yet.
But of all the good food that you've traveled the world and tried, I mean, to say that you've not had a Monster Munch sandwich yet, it's pretty special.
Well, yeah, but that's the shit that I mean. Like, I love that. I love that, you know, having Morecambe Bay prawns, having... I had my first gammon when I was in Morecambe. I just think that there's just something so special about that country and about the actual culture. And to be fair, not that I haven't had good barbecue or I haven't had good burgers in England, but I think that when English places do English food in a traditional way, I find it really very special. Like
pub grub. That's what we call it, pub grub.
I like the pub grub, but even like there's a place in Brighton called the Salt Room, and they use a wood-burning oven called the Jasper, Spanish wood-burning oven. And it was like some of the freshest seafood done perfectly. There's a place in Soho called the Ember Yard. Again, just perfect execution. Anything Neil Rankin does, Chef Neil Rankin, such good stuff in England. And also, you know, everything closes so damn early that it's also, I have to learn how to drink with English people. I have to get my pacing is shit. I have to work up to like.
I think I remember you going home early that night when we was out in London. I think I remember you going home early.
No.
No, did you not? Was we out? Maybe you just went out as late as me. I think I was still going until the next day, to be fair.
No, I was. Well, I was going, and then I had a social engagement that I had to get to. and Foxes split the cab with me.
Yeah, then, Lou. Yeah.
And so she had to jump in. She jumped in, and then I was like making sure because I jumped out first in Shoreditch, and I was like, I gave the driver extra. I go, look, she was like fucked up. I was like, make sure she gets.
Yeah, of home. Course.
Yeah.
Just going back to good food in London, which would take us on to your first subject. You know, we've been speaking about, texting for a while about your overrated subjects. And one of them, the first one was, if you want to tell us what that was.
So overrated to me is the concept of needing to get to or needing to get a table at the new hot restaurant.
Right.
That to me is overrated. And I think that it's kind of like back in the day, you might meet a celebrity and get an autograph. Maybe if you were lucky enough to have had one of those disposable cameras on you, whatever, you'd get a picture or someone, you know, if you were maybe a tourist, you'd get a photo. But now everyone has an HD movie studio in their pocket. Mm. And let me get a photo, let me get a video, let me get whatever.
TikTok, Tomo.
TikTok.
Let me get a TikTok, exactly. So I think that it's weird when, like, eating something is a status symbol.
Mm.
Like when the Cronut came out and there were lines down the block to get a Cronut. There's a place in Greenpoint here in Brooklyn.
A Cronut?
Cronut. They sell them, I think, Timber Yard in Seven Dials by Covent Garden still has them.
What's a Cronut? What is one?
It is a hybrid. So I found out about it from my friend, the late, great Anthony Bourdain, and he introduced them to me. They were created by a guy named Dominic Ansel, and they are a hybrid of the croissant and donut.
Okay.
Right. Sounds different.
Very rich. Very, very rich. Not necessarily my bag.
Mm.
You know, and I, Lord knows, I will eat decadent food, but, you know, I still have yet to do a Cronut. But I always think it's just super weird where it's not like, I want to go to this place because the food intrigues me. I want to go to this place because the room is really sexy. That's like, I want to go to this place so I can tell people I've been there. Seems kind of messed up to me. I just think you lose sight of it. And it becomes like, oh, you haven't been, or... You know, or, oh, you're going to really impress the girl. I got us a table at Gato. I got us a table at whatever, Nobu, Hakusan, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is like you say, it's a kind of a way to kind of show off, isn't it? Like you say, oh, and especially nowadays, it's like people are probably doing it for the gram, for the Instagram or the Facebook more than the date or the food.
Yeah, and I'm aware of my own hypocrisy in that, like, that's how I am. You guys call them trainers, but that's how I am with sneakers. Yeah. Is that, like, you know what I mean? If I got the new hotness, I got two different types of Jordans in the past week and a half, which I I'm a little pissed at myself for doing it. Like, I'm happy I got him. But I'm kind of like, this is like wartime, dude. You need to be spending your money on, like, disinfectant to inject into your blood. Injectable UV lights.
I am with you on that. There's very, very few things come close to a fresh pair of sneakers.
You have no idea. This week, I copped some heat. Copped some fire.
Nice.
Dude, I got two new of the new Jordans, the Jordan Lows, and I got the DMP sixes. And I filmed a TikTok, Tom.
Have you got a TikTok?
I do. I have posted three TikToks. One of my production company logo, like the Animatic, and then one of these shoes.
Nice. Oh well, there you go. Well, that's what's important to you. But it goes back to what Andy's just saying. I guess like with a lot of fancy restaurants and stuff in London and Manchester, it almost seems as if people feel like they have to check in on Facebook and Instagram just to show that they've been there. And sometimes, like, I've been to a lot of really, really nice restaurants that have spent so much time and effort and money on the decoration of the place and the website and the clothes that the staff are wearing, etc. But then the food's not all that great. I mean, I would happily sit in a shed in the back of a garden and eat good food. That's what makes a nice restaurant for me, is the food. Whereas I think now sometimes it's more about the decor and about the status of the places.
100%. Like, I love going to Chinatown in London. That's always been one of my favorite. You know, my favorite place was on Macclesfield between Shaftesbury and Gerrard, and it closed, called Mao Tai Kitchen. It was right by that red gate in the London Chinatown. But there are other ones that are really quite delicious. Bar Shu, Bashan. So obviously, as a Spurs supporter, I've had quite a bit of heartbreak, and I always drown them. And my favorite fish and chips in London is Seashell of Listen Grove in Marylebone.
Right. Extraordinarily. If you're from Grimsby, you're not allowed to have fish and chips anywhere other than Grimsby. It's just not as good.
It infuriates you that all my fish and chip shops are sort of Chinese owned, doesn't it?
Yeah, so if you went to what you call a chippy in Grimsby, that would mean a fish and chip place. Whereas if you go to Manchester, where Andy lives, they have a chippy, but they sell Chinese food as well.
Yeah, so all our chippies are Chinese restaurants too, I've never understood why, but strange.
See, I loved, one of the things that I really loved about, I really had an amazing time in Manchester. So my director for, I also have a series about food and football all over the world on Copa 90 called Matinee Menus. My director's in Stockport. So he was sort of introducing me to like a little bit of the difference with the culture of North and whatever. And I was working with a company there to create a line of sauces. So I was there for a bit, and you know, things like chips and gravy, things like pie barm, things like even the more artisanal things, like that's what I mean, like Northern Soul grilled cheese.
Yeah, great place.
Great place, great people, great music, and great attention to detail. Have you ever been to Hip Hop Chip Shop?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Hip Hop Chip Shop.
Yeah. In Manchester?
In Manchester, right by the BBC, they had a little sort of wagon, cart, truck thing. And they use a fish called Coley. And it's like a sustainable fish. And it's extraordinary. The batter's extraordinary. The mushy peat, like everything is just superb there. What's that place? Crazy Pedro's or something?
Yeah. Crazy Pedro's. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And Lindy is the owner there. They made him into the logo there. But that place, terrific pizza. I loved Australasia. in Manchester. And but what I'm saying is that you guys also have like that. What's that one like sort of alleyway that's all the curry places?
Oh, the Curry Mile.
The Curry Mile.
Yeah.
But that's what I love. Like, I remember going to Edgware Road in London and, like, destroying, like, kebabs after a QPR Man City match.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about the unadulterated, real, authentic culture as opposed to when you go to the fine dining places. Mm. And I think in America, too, I think that the nice wine list, the nice environment can be very sexy, can be very romantic, can be very impressive. But do you still feel as though you've eaten a meal when you've left? And that doesn't mean like the portions have to be gigantic. But when you sat down, you had like, there's a great restaurant in Marylebone as well called the Providores. Mm. And it's great food, but it's served well. It's a great restaurant. And I think places like that are kind of special. And, you know, you want bang for your buck. People work very hard and money doesn't go quite as far as it used to. And I think that when it comes time to, like, if you're going to go out of your house for something you could do at home, it should be special, but you should still feel you got your money's worth.
Yeah.
Stephen, so going back to the fine dining, Stephen Graham, came on episode 2, I think it was, or 3, and his subject was fine dining. And over the years, in the restaurants that he's been able to go to through work, or whether it be going out for a meal with his wife Hannah, but he said he went to a really, really posh restaurant in London I can't remember where it was. But he said he went in for this meal and it was really expensive. It was really nice and really posh. But he said as soon as he came out, him and Hannah just looked at each other and just said, "I'm still hungry. Like, I'm starving still." Because the portions are very small in these, like, really fine top restaurants, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that and we eat differently too, right? Like, I think, you know, our manners are better and things are plated so pretty, we don't want to like mess them up. And let's be honest, you're going to go to like Bob Ricard in Soho and like really strap on the feedback.
Yeah.
You don't think
they're the places I prefer, like where you can just kind of pig out and you feel like you're getting a bit of bang for your buck, I guess. You know what I mean? You're getting a bit.
I imagine whenever you walk into a restaurant, Adam, when you walk into a restaurant, the owners and the chefs must think, "Oh fuck!" Like this guy knows his food. Like, we need to.
I think they think I know the food. I mean, I don't think anyone's like, "Holy shit, he's going to order 12 turkeys." But I think that he's. If they recognize me, it could be like 50-50, right? It could be. Let's see what the asshole thinks. Versus, let's send him out some of X, Y, and Z. And I think that's the one thing that I miss. Like, a good, like, the neighborhood Italian restaurants. Not, like, the fancy Italian restaurants.
Love Italian food.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's maybe why I love going to Camden Market so much, because these little independent sellers are trying to just hit that comfort food note, and they're doing it from so many different angles. There's like a great vegan Reuben place that they have in Camden Market now. There are really great pizzerias like Franco Manca popping up. And even I've had good pizzas at Pizza Express. I don't know. I just think even like places like on Islington High Street. I love the Wilmington near King's Cross. Great roast dinner there. You can cut it with a spoon. It's like,
what's your thoughts on a Sunday roast?
I love it. I'm not. I had a great one. So I'm filming a show for the Dave Channel right now.
Yeah.
Called Adam Richman's Supper Man, and it's on. We were filming in Haworth, like Bronte country, and there's a place called the Hayworth, I believe is the name of the place, and they did a lamb. roast dinner, and it was extraordinary. I mean, a good crispy roasted potato, a Yorkshire pudding is not something that we normally get in America.
Yeah.
So that texture, that flavor is all new to me. But I love a good roast dinner. I think that they are. It's a good thing I don't live in England. I would have one every damn day. I would have one every 12
days. Well, that's the thing, mate. Sorry, go on.
No, I was saying my mate said that, like, that's the thing. It's like, I always see like people having steak and chips, but it's one of those meals that you could have in England with some degree of consistency of execution and still feel like you ate some.
Yeah. It's a shame that it's sort of a traditional Sunday meal, a roast. It's very much a Sunday. Like, it feels weird to have one midweek, which I think is a real shame, because Charlotte makes the best Sunday roast I've ever had. We had a guest on a couple of weeks back, and his subject was Sunday roasts. He thought that they was overrated. So, as you can imagine, there was uproar about that, because...
I love them. I think that it's people think comfort food has to have bacon or smothered in gravy or whatever, but I think that there is Sundays like always kind of almost make me sad in that, you know, it's like the end of the pretty weekend and back to the grind and the whatever. It's a little different maybe in our business because we work the weekends, we work the days, whatever, but I always sort of feel like if it makes you happy, have breakfast for dinner. It doesn't make a difference if it's not the morning, it's not whatever. I love that. I think that's one of the things that I have really only found in England, you know, is like a really good classic roast dinner. I think same thing, like I've had better burgers in America, but I've had better roast dinners. And also, I finally got to go to like a real cafe in London.
A real cafe.
And then that was the thing too, that like I've heard that, so that is cafe more northern or more southern? Cafe versus
I think
cafe.
Cafe's more southern, yeah. I'd call it a cafe,
yeah.
Cafe, yeah.
A cafe.
And you guys say bath instead of bath, right?
Bath, yeah. Bath.
You take a bath, not a bath. I saw a sign in Stockport that said it's B-A-T-H, not B-A-R-T-H.
Or B-A-F-F, bath. Yeah, that's how some people would say it. But going on to your second subject, which I thought was a great one. I thought that was a real good one. Your second one was having a ripped physique.
It was.
Talk us
and
through
maybe
that.
This is me, maybe this is me just being bitter, you know? I think that I trained for 2 years and worked meticulously on my diet for soccer aid and lost a lot of weight. And I'm not going to lie, I mean, I felt great in my own skin and I'm a clothes horse. So I like being able to wear stuff from designers I otherwise couldn't, or wear style of clothes that I otherwise couldn't or hadn't. So that was awesome. And I liked all the attention from girls. That was cool too. I also realized that there are people that are genetically predisposed towards really like being defined and stuff like that. And I'm not one of those people. And, I guess for me, especially now, as I've gotten a little bit older, I mean, I was in Soccer Aid 6 years ago.
Is that how long ago Soccer Aid was? 6 years?
2014 was when I did it.
Yeah.
Wow.
When we went.
I think that in the Instagram era where being pretty is so valued, I think maybe it's even just where we are culturally.
Well, it's almost a fad. It's almost a fad to be in good shape now. People don't, they just want to be in that good shape just because everybody else is, you know.
I mean, I guess, I think as long as I can remember, there was always like the hot workout video, the hot diet. Yeah. I mean, as far as I can go back, Jane Fonda videos and the grapefruit diet, and the South Beach diet and the Atkins diet. And you guys in England had 5-2 and in South Africa, they had the Banting diet and all these things. I think if it allows you to lead a healthier life, but I guess like I've met a lot of the sort of fitness influencers and some of them are nice people, but some of them were really vapid and some were actually downright horrible people. Mm. And I think that it's tough when, you know, we live in this world where image is so important that, you know, you're told as an, you know, remember, I went to Yale Drama School. I was an actor first and foremost. I started working in kitchens to support myself as an actor. I've been on TV since I was 9 years old. And I remember my agents, when I came out of Yale, were like telling me, you know, go to the gym and lose a little bit of weight. Because, you know, oh, you'll not be a leading man. You're a character lead. You're the da, da, da. And I think it's tough because I think that, I mean, you're lucky. You know, you're married. You have, you know, a partner that you care about. But if you're in my position and you're single, you know, aesthetics are very important. And I look, they're important to me too. But I think that people place a big value. And, like, the thing is, even my current president is somebody who says really hurtful, shallow, diminishing things about people that are overweight or ugly or not conventionally attractive or whatever, and like talk about the way they look, talk about their height, talk about their size, their stature. If you want to lose weight because, you know, like I tore my hamstring about a year ago, I guess, or a little over a year ago, and you know, and then when you're in your 40s, it takes a long time to heal properly and shit, and so losing weight is gonna only help my hip and hamstring rehab better. That to me is like a great thing. As an older man, I want to, you know, I'm 46 years old. I want to make sure my heart doesn't fucking give out. So, like, again, eating healthily, hopping on the exercise bike, not eating bullshit late at night like I did last night.
What did you eat last night?
Oh, man, I got a socially distance from my refrigerator. I'm going to gain the COVID-19.
Hey, don't worry about it. It's fine. Do you enjoy exercise? Because we was on the phone the other day and you said that you was going to jump on the bike and you've got an exercise bike and things. Do you enjoy that?
You know what? I actually really like doing elliptical a little bit more. My favorite thing is like I know a lot of old people do it, but like Aqua Fitness. I've been renting a place
yeah.
in the pool in LA and it was the best thing ever because I would run laps in the pool and just really go through my range of motion, but it was still weight bearing. Yeah, and then I would do physical therapy. So it's like if you're standing, doing like full range of motion kicks this way, that yeah. way in the pool, and then I would hold on to the coping of the pool and do flutter kicks for like, do it for yeah. 3 minutes, rest for 30 seconds, do it for 3 minutes, rest. And believe it or not, it's like Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going. That was like working through the pain alleviated the pain. So I appreciate that. To be fair, and I know you think I'm not very good at football, but to me,
I don't think that.
I'm just taking the piss. I think that to be fair, I like team sports because it's a workout, but doesn't feel like a workout.
Yeah. But it's disguised fitness. If you're doing football or badminton or cricket or anything, if you're enjoying it, it's disguised fitness because you know you're part of a team and you forget that you're running around, you know, because you're sort of you're so engrossed in wanting to win, so you sort of forget that it's hard work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I like going for very long walks. I haven't it sucks because I New York is so scary right now, at least to me. I'm really trying not to. I have a backyard. I'm really trying to leave my house as very little as possible. Because there's hundreds of people dying a day. And I used to walk from the Upper East Side of Manhattan to my home by Barclays Arena a couple times a week. And that's like a 4 or 5 mile walk. And I would just do that for mental clarity. I would learn about restaurants. I'd learn about new places, listen to good music, listen to good podcasts, and just oxygenate the shit out of my body. The thing is, like I said, I think there's a school of thought, and I think there's a generation of people that put aesthetics over content of character. And so I find that having a ripped physique, yeah, I acknowledge that maybe there's a little bit of sour grapes because I don't have one. But I also think that if you're going, like I had a talk with a female friend who was saying, you know, I put a lot of work into my body. And like, why should I be the only one expected to do that? Like the guy is not going to do it. And I said, I get that. Like, I want someone that I'm attracted to also. You want someone you can be vulnerable in front of and share with, but you also have to have someone you want to fuck. And I get that. I just think that I said to her, picture this. You have the flu. I know this is ahead of its time, but you have the flu. Yeah. You're sick. You don't know 1 second which end's going to come out of. You're achy. You're stuffed up. Your hair hurts, you know, whatever. You're lying on the couch in the same sweats you've worn for 2 days. You're under a blanket. You're feeling rough and wan and pale. And when the guy comes over and brings you tea or brings you soup and strokes your hair and still calls you beautiful, are you going to really care how many abs he has visible?
Well, that's it.
1 minute, I'm just going to ask my wife, did she hear that?
Get out of here.
But I think exercise is important for the, for like what you've just said, for mental clarity. Like it's, it honestly, it baffles me how the gyms in the UK are so expensive when it's so good for the mind. Like you'd think that it would be available on the NHS or anything like that. I know they've obviously got a lot on, but you know, what helps me when I'm not feeling very well, when I'm a bit sort of, because I suffer a bit with anxiety and stuff. And if I'm exercising, if I'm going for a run or going out on the bike, I feel so much better. Like it helps so much.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, though, you've always been kind of athletic. Like I've heard that, you know, you've always been a footballer, you've always been fairly active. I've met you, you're a lean guy, your brother's very lean. That I think it's different. Like, I'm predisposed, you know, I have a slow metabolism, I have metabolic syndrome, so I have to stay vigilant. And then the other thing is, you know, people are extraordinarily fucking mean, man. And I can't tell you how many times people will, you know, like to do an interview with like a major publication in the UK and have a journalist say, you know, oh, I hate to say this because Richmond was so nice, but he has really gotten big. He's grown a beard just to give his face some sort of shape. Like things like this, to have you know, people malign your weight and go, oh, you got twice as big in your second season. Someone on TMZ like took I did a charity event. I'm there doing charity event. I got my own time for, you know, no money, no compensation, no nothing, to raise money for charities and to raise awareness of the MLS, the American Soccer League. And I did an interview talking about what I eat on the road, how I try to have egg whites and oatmeal and stuff. And then this Irish reporter for TMZ is like, what absolute radish. He's tripled in size since the show started. And it's like, I know you're just talking about someone on television, but it's actually me. It's actually a human being in residence. And I know there's a school of thought that'll be like, well, dude, tough shit. You wanted a job in the public eye. You want the cash and prizes, the recompenses that you have to put up with these kinds of slings and arrows. I personally think that, I mean, dude, I do DJs. I've been DJing recently.
Yeah, I saw.
Thanks, dude. And I've been doing these sessions and like getting a couple hundred people a night. It's been a lot of fun to do. And in the midst of a pandemic, people still have the capacity to make fat jokes and to
crazy.
And to talk about it. And so I think that, so you're saying that if I were ripped and a shit DJ, you would enjoy it more? Or like, I remember when I lost weight, I had people saying I was a traitor and I had turned my back on food. I'm like, I turned my back on food. I'd be fucking dead if I turned my back on food. So I think that if being healthy is not overrated, but being aesthetically, I look like, you know, Ryan Reynolds. Okay. I would love to be able to take my shirt off at a beach and not feel self-conscious, but I do. But yeah. By the same token, I also know that I'm a good person and I try to care about everyone before I even met them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all you can do is, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, I guess, is an old one, but it's
a lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah, and even, you know, even these people who are aesthetically, you know, good to look at and stuff, they're not necessarily healthy because a lot of it, you know, is...
And I bet they're boring. If they go out for a meal and they're eating a salad because they need to get so many grams of protein in just so they can have their six-pack, it's like...
I know a couple who are kind of like that, and I've been out in the past, and you're trying to enjoy a meal, and they're just constantly looking at what they can and can't have and stuff, and you're like... Just eat, treat yourself, you know, you can run an extra little bit tomorrow or whatever you want to do, but, you know, you've got, you know, again, maybe I'm speaking from the other end of it, being, you know, a bit glad myself, but you only live once. As long as you have moderation and be as healthy as you can, you know, you don't have to be, you know.
I think moderation's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also do have a bit of insomnia, and the more that I'm vigilant about my sleep, the better my metabolism is, and not eating late, that's big. The problem is, you know, we're home, hours tend to blend between digital cable and Xbox. It's very easy to stay up late, by the way. You know, I made it to the Euro finals. I'm very happy right now.
What's that?
On FIFA, you know.
You're in the finals on FIFA?
I am. We just won the league. You know, I'm playing through a career, and I'm on loan from NYCFC at Atalanta in Serie A. We've won the league with games to spare, and just beat United to get into the finals of the Euro. I think we're going to go up against Olympique Marseille. I think it's a Marseille or Lyonnais. I don't know who we're playing in the final. But no, what I'm saying is it's hard to get that discipline, and I'm really going to try to, like, you know, there was my trainer and my football coach is English. He's from Archway in London, which means I've never heard him say a T in the middle of a word ever. Like, we practice at a park in LA called Rancho Park, which is at the entrance by 20th Century Fox by Pico and Motor, MOTOR. And he's like, I'll see you at Ryan's time. Pico and Motor.
Motor.
I'm like, huh? Wait, what? but he was telling me to try to use no artificial light this weekend. So open all the windows, be up with the sun at like 5 or 6, in bed by like 10. And I've been reading more about that the closer your circadian rhythms can get to the sun, the better off you are.
With sleep.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it really, really does.
And just upping my water intake.
Genuinely, I've done, I think, 3 of these today. So I'm drinking a lot of water at the moment. But it is the weekend, so I will be swapping that for Budweiser tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that your preferred drink?
Lager. Yeah, lager, I think it would be Budweiser, yeah.
Because we had beer in Thailand, I remember. I remember we went out for beers in Thailand.
Yeah, what was we doing? It would have been Chang.
Chang,
wasn't it? It was in Bangkok, wasn't it? Yeah. I think Budweiser is my drink of choice. But if I'm away, like I was when we met in Thailand, I'll always try and drink the local beer. I'll always say if you go over to Spain, you might have a San Miguel, or if you're in Italy, you'll have a Peroni or whatever. I'll always try and have the local beers. But if I'm going to the supermarket, I'll always go for Budweiser, I think, in England, definitely.
Such a funny night, because I saw you and then watched the girl shoot ping pongs out of her hooch. And then I always wished I were really good at ping pong. So I thought it'd be really good if we could volley for serve. Like if she popped it out, shut up and knocked it right back in. And we sat there going for 21. Just come on, bitch, let's do this.
Thailand's a great place.
If I got it right back in, I was just like, she was like going for velocity. She put topspin on it. She was like Rafael Nadal. I was like, all right. It was like
oh my gosh.
It was like Vagina Federer. And then and the funniest thing was, so it's like I saw my mate Thomas, and then like all of a sudden, so then we go to Soy Cowboy, we're watching a, and then after that, like I was laughing how we ended up like sort of like old Jewish men, like it was like me, remember my cameraman, my sound guy, and then we ended up just like a pub at the end of Soy Cowboy. It's like their version of a British pub, and it's the one place on all of planet Earth I've seen Spurs TV in public. Like I didn't even know it was like a thing.
They had Spurs TV. Like,
they had, you know, like the channel that they all make.
Yeah, like MUFC like, and things.
Right, they make content, and then sometimes there'll be like a bit of it on another network, but usually it's all online. And I couldn't believe it. Like I'm there, I'm like, I just watched, you know, pure carnal craziness. Saw my mate, and then it's like, and we're like eating like club sandwiches in the middle of Thailand, and because I don't like to do that, I like eating from like street vendors and whatever, and I was just like, holy shit, man, this is the most random night ever. Like seeing Tom from Grimsby, seeing a girl shoot a ping pong ball out of her holy of holies, and then all of a sudden,
go figure. It's great. Just quickly, just on the final one, because Andy really wanted to talk about this subject.
Yeah.
What was the final subject?
I don't remember. What was it?
Pork pies.
Cold pork pies.
Cold pork pies.
Yeah. See, so, talk to me.
So, again, for that Cup 90 show for Match Day Menus, we filmed in one of the prettiest areas I've ever been in, a place called Grange over Sands. Right by the Lakes District, like kind of just south of Scotland. And one of the most impressive butcher shops ever, a place called Higginson's. And it's the type of butcher shop that I wager they don't really make anymore. You know, the men behind the counter had ties and aprons and you know, merchant ivory boater hats and things like that. And, you know, salt marsh lamb and samphire and stuff. So we were there because Morecambe FC's pies, the hot ones, had been voted best in England to the degree that they sell Morecambe FC pies at Harrods. And they are, you're up in Manchester, when they open it, I can't recommend them enough. The chicken, ham, and leek.
Steak
and ale, I believe. Those two are remarkably good. And it's the crust. It's like third generation pastry chefs. And they have never given the recipe to the club so that the head chef could always guarantee jobs for his children.
Nice. Wow.
Super. So I had a hot pies before. I had been to Manzi's Tower Bridge for pie and mash and liquor.
Yeah.
I had been when I was waiting for a meeting at ITV. I got there early and I went to Pie Minister on the South Bank.
Prime Minister. That's amazing. That's so clever. I've never been. I just love the idea of that it being called Prime Minister.
But yeah, and I hadn't had real liquor until I went to Manzi's and saw that they make a little wall with the mash on the edge of the plate, yeah, so it holds the liquor in. And people were like shitting on me because I didn't get double pie, double mash. And I was just like, I only have one asshole. Like, that's a lot. Like, you're going to blow an O-ring out like the Challenger, God forbid. So I was like, my producer, he got us each a sausage roll. Now, the sausage roll was warm. Mm. And I was like, oh, this is really lovely. So then he said, you know, and the butcher's like, have you never had a real pork pie? And I said, no. And I said, oh, can I get them out of the oven? And they all looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, no, you have a pork pie cold. And I said, what?
And they're that's like, the rule. Yeah.
I'm like, that thick, gelatinous kind of sausage, you have it cold? Like, when you could have it warmed up? He's like, no, that's what you do. You just eat it cold. To me, it seems like you lose, like, a lot of the nuance of flavor and texturally. It's not as nice to bite into. It's like cold sausage, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to talk about this because I never really got them when I was a kid. Same, like, you're like, why do I want this cold? And then, like, the jelly. That's
yeah, all. The little jelly layer, isn't there?
Yeah, but, like, as I've grown older, like, I actually went to the shop the other day to get some supplies in. And they had some pork pies, and I was like, ooh, I really want a pork pie. And I don't know where that's come from. I guess maybe it's like an age thing as I've grown up. Because you know, I don't know. I think it's a very northern thing, a pork pie.
Is there a condiment that's meant to be used with it that perhaps I'm missing?
Tomato sauce, ketchup.
No. What is it, like Branson pickle? That's what you want on a pork pie, Branson pickle.
Branson pickle, okay. That's the thing. Like, wait, let me see if my northern's good. Wait, so not what I'm getting at.
Nice.
That what I'm getting at.
You sound like Korean Billy when you say it, though. Have you seen that guy, Korean Billy?
Korean Billy?
Oh, it's basically it's an internet guy, and he's from Korea, but he does... did the different accents of Britain, and you sounded exactly like him when you said that we're angling that.
Does he do a good job or a bad job?
Oh, amazing job. I mean, terrible at the accents, but brilliant to watch.
What do you, Adam, you sound like a Korean doing an English accent.
He sounds exactly like a Korean doing different accents as well. So he does a Scouser, he does a Manc, he does... everything.
I did spend one Halloween in Essex in Romford.
Oh yeah, and, you know.
And that was those were also like they're learning a new kind of slang, learning a new kind of language. And I remember I was outside because my buddy is from there, and he invited me to a house party, and I was excited because, you know, whenever you get invited to like a house party in a country you don't live, it's always really cool because you see the similarities, you see the difference in culture. And I remember we were in the garden. And I was sitting there, and this guy comes over. He's like, "Oi, aren't you the geezer from Man vs. Food?"
That's good. That's a great accent.
Thank you. My friend's trying to cover up, and he's like, "No, mate. No." He's like, "Ah, you mugged it then." I was like, "You're a legend, mate. You're a legend, son. I couldn't have you more if you was a striker for West Ham." And then Kev goes, "He supports Spurs." He's like, "Fuck off, you nonce."
On that note,
I'm like, okay then. But yeah, I like how the England, you guys have the right condiment for everything. It's like Scotch egg, it's Coleman's mustard, right?
Yeah.
Branston pickle, HP for full English.
Yeah, definitely.
Ketchup for me.
No.
Tommy K, really. And then you guys also
and same
have...
the sausage roll. If I had a sausage roll, I'd have tomato sauce.
Tomato, oh, really?
Ketchup. Yeah.
Wait. If you call that tomato sauce, what do you call the stuff you put on spaghetti?
Bolognese sauce.
But that's only if it has meat in it, right?
Yeah. You mean, what's it called?
Passata.
Oh, wow. So... but passata is just like a watery, it means they pass it through a sieve. See, that's the thing that's interesting that I've always loved, that like when we were filming this like gourmet roast dinner, I love that like you guys will call it a passata. I had tea and someone's like, oh, it's a Black Forest gatto. And then you hear like all these like different, like very like European phrases. It's an aubergine, it's a courgette and all these things. Then all of a sudden I go, oh, you've cauliflower. I'm like, oh, you've cauliflower gratiné. I remember the chef's like, do you mean the cauliflower cheese? I'm like, oh, it's cauliflower cheese. It's a passata and it's a gatto. But fuck me, because it's a cauliflower cheese.
It's my bad. I think Adam, that's a trope from the British Empire, isn't it? We took the bits that we kind of liked and then everything else was like, no, that's British now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we'll take Ghetto and we'll take the name Windsor. But we don't want to be Hanover anymore. Well, like, that's the thing that's amazing, though. It's why I always love, like, I think that sometimes when English food, like when I've gone to the Wolseley or the Delaunay, that you can have really wonderful food, but it's always the really wonderful food that copies the home cooking. And then when I've gone to like the high-end haute cuisine, like Thomas said, well, okay, it's like a 2-pound coin made of beef, and that's great, and now I want to go to Burger King.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that you guys are embracing it. There's a place in Whitechapel called Tayab's that's known for their lamb chops. And you go there and you get lamb chops and veggies and this and this and this, and it feels like a meal. You can go to, you know, New Malden for Korean food and get like a real Korean meal. And I liked the little regional things, like going up north, like Peewet.
Peewet. Yeah, yeah.
Never been.
It's the juice from peas. You dip your bread in it.
What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people?
Mine would be like
imagine trying bean wet.
Bean wet. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Bean wet.
They have bean wet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I filmed with this. She won BBC's Best Home Cook. Her name is Pippa. She's on Instagram. She's really lovely. We filmed with her for the show on Dave. And she's from up north. And she's helping me create a recipe for Johnny Vegas.
Oh, right.
And I've seen Benidorm and
I'm cultured. I've seen Benidorm. Have you been to Benidorm though?
No, and I haven't been to Shagaloof either.
Don't do
We went to Benidorm 2 years ago for my stag do.
Did you?
In America you'd call it a bachelor party, right?
Yes, and a Hindu we call it bachelorette party, exactly.
Yeah. So we went to Benidorm, there was 40 of us, and we went to Benidorm on my bachelor party. It was a great place. I mean, we didn't try much food. We tried a lot of KFC. But
if you want to see
that's Spain. Is that Spain or Malta?
It's Spain. Spain. If you want to see real, true Britain, go to Benidorm.
Yeah, if you want
to see. What's Magaluf? Where's that?
Magaluf is in Spain. It's in Palma Nova. It's another. It's like a British. So if you want to see real Britain, weirdly enough, go to Spain.
Yeah,
sure. I've heard I've heard it called Shagaloof, but so what's it called? Son, Sex, and Suspicious Parents or something like that?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
And I was shocked that, like, I was seeing nudity and what have you, but there was a tweet that I saw that kind of went viral, and it was when I was in England doing. I produced a play at the Southwark Playhouse, and it was one of the first times I got a chance to spend a good chunk of the summer in England. And someone had like posted a tweet saying like how girls will diet and get tan and get buff just to go to like Benidorm or Magaluf and get jizzed on by a guy from Leeds.
But, that sounds about right.
But I've also never been to, like, so I had gotten Brighton Rock when I was in Brighton. Mm. And it was funny, my mate, the one that lives in Essex, or was from Essex, he said, hey, you're in town, you're grabbing a pint. I said, I'm filming up in Brighton. And then he goes, so again, I didn't know what the word meant. So he goes, so we have a mutual buddy named Simon. He goes, oh, yeah. Popular cottaging area. Simon loves it up there. So I thought it meant he had like a beach cottage, like he had a beach house. And I'm like, oh, he comes up, he has a cottage up here. He's like, I don't think you know what that word means. And he's like, I was making a joke about Simon. And then like, he sent me a link and I was like, ooh.
That's what that means.
It means something totally different.
Exactly. But he was telling me about like the hats that would say, kiss me quick, squeeze me slow.
Yeah.
And like, that was that and Hailing Island.
Mm. Like, what's that? Hailing Island?
Yeah, Hailing Island and by West Wittering. That he like those seaside towns, and apparently like those towns are kind of like pretty rambunctious as well.
Yeah, Blackpool's like
Blackpool's great one.
You know,
is it?
Oh yeah, like yeah. It's like that's like the British version, of Benidorm, basically. Like, you know, you can get like candy kind of lollies shaped like dicks. Like
it's where the tattoo parlors are open until 5 a.m.
Yeah,
that sort of place.
Where is Blackpool in relation to the map? Like
it's on the northwest coast,
so it's not far from Manchester. A little bit lower than sort of Cumbria and stuff like that.
Up it's from, a great place.
Down from Cumbria.
I really want to go there.
Next time you're over in England, we'll take you over to Blackpool next time you're here.
I want to go to, like, still have to go to Grimsby, and I really want to go, there's so many places. I'd really like to go to Newcastle, too. I mean, it's just a place I've heard so much about. And
great people.
Really met just lovely people. I think that, you know, I've seen snippets of the Geordie Shore, and I've seen, oh, I remember.
Don't take that as an example. God.
That's what I had heard. And then, same thing, like I had seen that show The Valleys, and a day after like watching a few episodes, I met my buddy Ben Davis for the first time from Spurs, and I remember I was like asking him, like, is that what that shit's like? And they're like, I'm tamping and fuming, but I'm like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, don't take shows like that for example, but
you just buy that.
Listen, Adam, I think that'll be about it, mate. I think that'll do it. But thank you very much for chatting to us, dude. It's been great.
Yes, you do. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You'll have to let us know when you're next over, and we'll try and catch up for a beer and some bean juice.
We'll go up Blackpool Tower. It's like a small...
We'll go up Blackpool Tower and have some pee drink, what do you call it?
Pee-wet.
We'll have some pee-wet.
We'll have some pee-wet pie barn. Absolutely. Look, at the end of the day, I miss you guys. I miss that country more than anything. And I hope we get to travel there safely. I know they said it's supposed to come in 2 waves. So yeah. Hopefully that second one will crash. About to get the antibody test soon. So
yeah.
Please stay safe, everybody.
Fingers crossed. Nice one, Adam. Take care, mate.
Stay safe, guys.
You too.
Take care, bud. Bye. Take care. I've had my eyebrows done. It was fucking brilliant.
Have you had your eyebrows done?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, looking good.
Got my eyebrows done,
mate. I get a monobrow, mate.
I'm quite looking at mine. Are quite fair. Anyway, let's not talk about how beautiful we are.
Yeah. So you all just had a great podcast. Tomo had a quick wee. I went and fed my child. It's been eventful. Again, wicked podcast with Adam. Great, like. Guest all round, really. Like we were just saying then, weren't we? Like, he's a bit of a, is the word an Anglophile? I think is the word. So it means people who love the British, the English, I guess. Not the British, the English.
Yeah. Well, he's a well-travelled, cultured man, isn't he? Like, he spent a lot of time, on the road, eating mainly, which I guess is what we all do when we travel. When I'm on a holiday, I'm a massive eater.
I love to try different foods when I go abroad, me.
I'm like that, but Charlotte's quite the opposite, really.
Going to say, though, because I remember when we went Milan with Charlotte, like, she loves a Mackey's. And you know what? I love travelling and eating food all around the world, but I also like trying the McDonald's.
Yeah, I think McDonald's is different everywhere you go.
Yeah, like if you go to Spain, a Spanish McDonald's tastes different from a British McDonald's.
Yeah, it does.
American McDonald's tastes different.
The KFC in Thailand,
Oh, they've got KFC in Thailand.
Oh yeah, me and Charlotte had a lot of KFC in Thailand because it's quite like we spend a lot of time just walking around and just sunbathing and just sort of getting up to no good really. But I think food wise, we're quite boring eaters really.
Yeah, did you not try all the like insects and shit that you can eat in Thailand? Like street.
I did down Bangla Road in Bangkok. Me and Charlotte went down. It was on one of the last nights. I was sat with a French, an English guy who taught French, and he was working over in Bangkok. And yeah, I think we had one of his, scorpions on a stick.
Oh yeah,
had one of them off a stick, but I was. Well, it was 3 a.m, so you can imagine the state I was in.
Give me a sec, just let the wife in.
This is why we're stopping, because Andy's so busy.
Just busy being a dad and a loving husband. we're recording them, so don't jump in this time.
Oh, yeah, she did last week, didn't she?
Yeah, she jumped in, she made an appearance. She asked me to cut it out, but I was like, nah. how was the scorpion? Nice.
I can't really, I didn't really taste of anything. It just tasted burnt, really.
Going back to Adam, like you say, amazing guest who has obviously, like you say, travelled the world and tasted many delights, but didn't like pork pies.
No, he said he wasn't a fan of pork pies, which is a bit strange, really. I'm a big fan of pork pies.
I never was as a kid, but I do like pork pies. What's that, Emily? You want to get on the podcast again? You what? Emily,
come in and host with you, mate. I'm off. I've had enough. I know, yeah. She gets more screen time than me nowadays.
Next week, it's me and my wife, Emily, and we're chatting to Steven Spielberg. The last one, great guest to have, our first international guest, I think. We had Martin Compton on.
Yeah, Martin was from Vegas,
but he's from Glasgow, isn't he? He's not from Vegas. So we've had an actual American on.
Yeah, real life nice. American. Hopefully, real. like we said it just in the intro, that hopefully now, because we've worked our asses off, I think. Well, not worked our asses off, because all we do is sit here and chat to the people who we're fans of, really.
Well, but, you know, we've behind the scenes, we've been, you know, getting people on, and I mean, you've done a lot of that. Like you say, you're the pretty face, but I mean, you are, you know, the connect who gets the guests, I guess. And then there's the edit. So a lot of work goes into it. But
It does, yeah. Particularly with the edit and stuff. But yeah, like we said before in the intro, you know, we do want to come back, but we do want to come back properly. We don't want to just do it behind a laptop screen. We want to be able to get together and, you know, actually be able to interact with our guests properly instead of it just being through a laptop.
And I think the great thing is now is we've built such a great sort of base of people who enjoy the podcast and now on YouTube as well. A lot of sort of video views on across the Acast sort of thingy on Spotify, Apple Podcast, etc. We've got a lot of listeners, so that's amazing. And sorry guys, that is going to be a bit of a break again. I know a lot of podcasts don't really have breaks, but like you say,
we do what we want. So
yeah, me and Tom are both actors. We're both working. We're starting to
speak for yourself.
Starting to creep back into the real world now. But you know, one thing that I'd like to do going forward is I'd like to do it proper. We've spoke about this before, haven't we? About maybe trying to get, you know, a studio space where guests can come to us, just to make it a little bit more fluid, which would mean a sponsorship or I don't know, a miracle, and maybe a producer who could help us out. So
if producer Griff is listening, slide into the DMs,
get in there. He actually messaged me the other day. Did our Griff?
Did he?
Watch park his. I thought, oh yeah, podcasting. Can I park my car outside your house while I go on holiday?
Tell him you want to return the favour.
Yeah, if he's listening.
It would be good if we could move forward with it and you know.
Yeah, so like I say,
make it bigger and better than ever, but it kind of gets it can cost a lot of money and time, which none of us have either because we're actors, so we're skint.
We're skint and we're always busy. But yeah, if you are a producer, a podcast producer, or fancy yourself as one, or you know, someone who's got a, you know,
just anyone who's got a bit of money that wants to give it to us. No matter if you know what you're doing, we don't.
I guess that's that. But yeah, it's been a great series, T.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's been, like I said, it's been different, but yeah, really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it.
It's been nice speaking, like, because obviously we chat anyway, don't we, over WhatsApp, and we ring each other and stuff. But it's been nice having a little chat every week with you, and
yeah, it's been nice.
And with some other random person on the other end of it.
Yeah,
it's been lovely, and we've had some great guests. Like you say, Johnny was a great one. Lucy Spraggan was really good. Vicky was really good. First episode back.
Oliver, there was some great guests. some people who we know on a personal level, some that we've never met. It's been interesting. It's been totally different. And like, for the listeners, obviously, you know, that there hasn't been as much effort gone into this as, you know, the first series, admittedly, but you know, it was a bit of an off the cusp thing, wasn't it? We sort of decided at the beginning of lockdown that we was going to do it for our own sanity, as well as
stay creative,
constantly, like, on social media asking us about it and things. So
yeah.
And we've done it. It's nice to know there are people still listening and caring.
Yeah, man. And thank you very much. And I guess we'll see you for series three, hopefully, when we get back on the road and get adjusted to the new normal.
I know. I'm going to delete your number now for a couple of months, and then
I don't want to hear from
you. I'll message you on Facebook or somewhere at some point.
or you'll just at me on TikTok or whatever you do on there.
Yeah, on the old TikToker.
Right. Thank you very much, guys, to everyone that listens, to all the Patreons that have supported us, etc. Please do continue to tell your mates, continue to share it, continue to like it, etc. Because every view, every share, everything does count. Thank you very much. Cheers, T.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
To series three. I'll chin chin. Cheers.
Yeah, chin chin with our mental Friday night, Monday night drinks.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.